Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Party Friday. It's beautiful out there. Gorgeous early fall weather. Going to be that the whole weekend here in Colorado.
And into next week, too. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Next week and so forth. So it's just great. And we're brought to you, as always, by one of the greatest bra hugs locally, Colorado Citizen Press. I mean, you got to get some of your news there. You can't just get it from the
CNN, ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Or Colorado Polls or...
Right.
Or quite frankly, the Colorado Politics or Denver Gazette.
Well, and we'll get to that in a second. I want to let folks know we got a lot going on today. We've got Roger Edwards coming up. He's an RTD candidate. We like to give local candidates some exposure because it's hard to get them. We've got one of the ladies from the, I've been telling folks about the women's group, a meeting that I've been going to, that they're all Trump people. We'll have one of them will be coming on. But we're going to start off as we always do on Friday with Colorado Minority Leader Patrick Neville. Hey, Patrick, thank you and welcome to the show again.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
I know we only have it for a few minutes because you're in class right now. So just a couple questions. Real quick, your take on the Trump COVID news.
You know, I really don't know what to think about it. I mean, I think he'll probably get over it. You know, I pray him and Melania are doing well. I you know I've got inundated with emails saying, oh, what do you think about your mask mandate, you know, lawsuits? Oh, don't you regret it now? And I'm like, no, this doesn't
no.
on that at all.
Right.
Not one bit. But I mean, you know, I pray they're doing well. And I mean, there's probably a disadvantage to his campaign. Is my initial thoughts because he can't be out there as much as he can. He can't be doing the rallies. So it's probably hurtful, but I think he'll get over it and be strong. And but who knows? I really don't know what to think about at this point.
That's kind of where we are a little bit.
I think it gets over it. You know, most viruses become less lethal over time. Some more than the 1918 one started out not too bad. By 1919, it had morphed into a real killer. But this one is following the track of most influenza ones, where it's becoming more mild. And though Trump's in his early 70s, I have a feeling he's going to recover very well. And same with Melania. And I think he'll be able to go out there saying, you know, really? We want to shut down everything, kill everything?
Right.
Because of it. I mean, we got to protect our very vulnerable. And he would technically fit into the category, although he's very healthy, of the vulnerable, a little overweight in his early 70s. But I have a feeling he's, you know, I certainly hope him, as you, praying that he recovers, and same with Melania. Talk about praying.
Well, I think it's almost like showcases.
Yeah.
Right.
He has, like, complete bias and disinformation on this. Like,
right.
they're just cluelessness. I mean, they literally think that, oh, well, Trump must be some sort of deity, the Patrick Neville. And so
yeah.
Now he's got it. He must have thought that this was fake all along. Now that he's got it, now he's come to see the light because his deity got it. It's
right.
Not the case at all. I'm like, I never thought this was a hoax. It was serious. I just, you know, like when this first came out, I was supportive of kind of, you know, the 15 days to slow the spread and trying to actually build up our PPE and build up our ventilator capacity and all that stuff. And then we did.
Right.
And then all of a sudden our hospitals weren't overwhelmed. And that's when I started saying, let's reopen, darn it. We can't keep doing this forever. Like, if it was just about capacity and trying to build up that PPE and the stockpiles, we did all that. Let's move on.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree. Hey, why don't we stop?
Well,
we only have it for five minutes.
I know, but this is too important to not. Talking about asking for divine intervention, I played with Patrick's dad, former Senator Tim Neville, in the caucus.
Values First
golf tournament at Pelican Lakes, which was just great. And his dad did wonderful putting and chipping. He was kind of our star on the putting and chipping. We had a lot of fun. It was great to see everybody there. That was a great event, Patrick.
That was a lot of fun, yeah. Thanks for coming, Chuck.
Yeah.
So let me, last time we had you on, we were talking about the potential for voter fraud, right? And it cracked me up. Channel 4 did a story pointing out that Colorado Secretary of State was sending out postcards trying to register dead people, and people who, not trying, but encouraging them to register even though they were dead or that they couldn't legally do so. Channel 4, caved to whiny progressives, and they keep calling the story debunked. But Patrick, I want to play a little clip and then get your reaction to this. Thank God for Ken Buck and people like you. Ken Buck and Laura Ingram did a great job saying, hey, we need to investigate this. So Thomas, if we could play that Ken Buck clip right now.
Hey, Congressman Ken Buck is demanding the feds investigate the Colorado Secretary of State for possibly sending voter registration cards to non-citizens and dead people. Congressman Buck joins me now. Congressman, you heard what Chris Hahn was basically saying, that the Republicans are just trying to make it harder for people to vote. But your colleagues on the Judiciary Committee are concerned about other states as well. How prevalent is this?
Well, I think it's very prevalent, and I think it's important that the Attorney General investigate Colorado and other states so that we know. In Colorado, the Secretary of State sent out postcards to dead people, to migrant workers on farms that were not U.S. citizens, to visitors from foreign countries. We have one lady who received or her family received a postcard. She hadn't lived in Colorado since 1967, and she's been dead 4 years. Just one example of a number that we have discovered where they are trying to get people to register to vote who are ineligible to vote.
Well, when we think about the need for a resolution of this election, given how hot things have been in this country, what do you think is going to play out if this election is not resolved on election night, which many people think it won't be, and this thing drags out until December?
Yeah,
what
I think
happens
it's important.
Then?
I think it's really important that everything leading up to Election Day is clean, and that in the case of Colorado, the Secretary of State has either acted illegally or incompetently, and the Attorney General needs to look at this and make a decision on how she's acted. I think it's important that if she has acted incompetently, that she correct those mistakes.
Well, let me clarify this for people, because these are pretty shocking tweets from the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold. She says, and these are indisputable facts, she says, this is no normal election. A record number of Americans will be voting by mail. Election night will be dramatically different than ever before. That's why I'm calling on national media networks to pledge to press pause for democracy. And number one, make no projections on election night. Number two, announce no election results on election night. Congressman, she should be fired just for saying that. It's not up to her to dictate what the media or anyone else says on election night. If they determine that President Trump has 270 electoral votes, or Joe Biden for that matter.
Well, when you're a progressive, you can tell the rest of the world what to do. The problem that the Secretary of State has is that we've been voting by mail for years in Colorado, and we've been announcing election results every election night. It's not until she became Secretary of State that all of a sudden there was a problem with announcing results. Everybody else has been able to do it, and across the country, we will be able to do it. The clerks and recorders count ballots every day that they receive ballots, and then at 7:05, after the polls close, they announce the results of the ballots that they have counted up to that time.
Congressman Buck, we're going to stay on it, and please do so as well, and keep in touch with us on this. This is really disturbing stuff.
Patrick, you've been on this from the beginning, too. I mean, what do you make of all of that?
Good for Ken. That's actually the first I've heard this clip, and I'm so proud of him, because I kind of talked to some of his staff, and I'm like, hey, you know what? We darn well need to make sure that we're contacting the AG's office and that we have some federal government officials looking into this, because the Secretary of State was actively encouraging voter fraud. This isn't like some campaign was doing like some misting effort. She took, you know, government funds and legitimately tried to encourage people to commit an illegal activity.
Well, that's nothing new. That's all that's been going on in Colorado underneath the surface.
But his like, you know, when I was talking to some staff, I was like, well, we don't know about that. So hearing Ken come out and say it himself, I'm like, yeah, Thank goodness.
Good for Ken. Good for you.
And good for you. And again, for her to tweet, oh, yeah, we shouldn't announce the results. It's like, you're the Secretary of State. If you're not capable of getting the results, and Laura Ingraham's right, you need to be fired.
But this is just the scratching the surface. How much the Democrats have crooked, rigged, and defrauded Colorado voters is astronomical, except with just people have been blind to it because the media won't cover it.
Well, they call this debunked, right?
Yeah, call this debunked, right. I mean, Colorado's been a cesspit. The 2018 election was a crooked election, a utterly crooked election, although no one knew it. You know, they went to all the old homes and got the Alzheimer patients. Isn't that cute? I hope if they begin
to bust people over here and they bust people over there. And that's
Yes.
Confidence statewide. But yeah, it gets more difficult when we're doing our districts because Democrats, you know, they've got, I mean, over millions of dollars, like $3 million versus our, you know, we have pennies compared to them, it seems like. And they can do like a very, you know, very expensive poll and figure out, oh gosh, we need 300 voters there, and we heard these stories happen.
Yeah. Right.
In those districts, that they would bus over, like, you know, they'd send three buses over to a district in Pueblo or a district in Jeffco and make sure they got the votes they needed.
Right.
People would same day register and do it, and that's when you saw it. Like, we kind of held our own as of election day. when the results first came out, we kind of held our own, and then as time went on, we're like, all of a sudden we're down four seats, and that's because they, at the very end, they, you know, they cooked the books and kind of went after it. And that's what I'm telling folks. We cannot stand down. We got to be, you know, extra. Mm-hmm. We got to be working extra hard. We got to be going after it completely this time. And we can't trust folks with what we're doing.
Well, there's been, you know, encouraging side. You know, the IDP poll came out. The one I relied on along with the Los Angeles Times poll last election to correctly forecast Trump's victory on the IDP poll. And I really believe these are not Republican oriented or Democrat or long. This time I'd rely on them and Gallup, and they just show Trump only down 2.6 points. He's really closed in. And I think that's one you can rely on. And we've got a lot of work to do, but it really is within possibilities unless they can cheat their way through the whole country.
Just say thank God for you and Ken Buck, you know, stay out there, keep us posted too, and we'll help everybody else. Hey, we'll let you go back to class.
Back to class.
Thank you for your time as always.
All right, thanks guys.
All right, thank you, Patrick Neville there. Yeah, I just wanted to play that because I thought, good for number one Fox for bringing up that, and good for Ken Buck for getting out there and say she's either incompetent or whatever.
But you know, I have been screaming for 2 years, the 2018 election was a corrupt, dishonest election. And I've just been shocked how the Colorado Republican Party just rolled over for it.
So
maybe this time, because if they scratch the surface and find out what Patrick was noting is, because same day registration, they would bus in people from New Mexico and say, oh, I'm coming to Colorado today, register on key districts. I mean, they're just cheating everywhere they can. They're corrupt everywhere they can. And we're getting robbed and cheated in Colorado. Everybody said, well, it's gone blue.
We're keeping an eye on it, though.
Yeah, it's gone blue like Mississippi went Democratic in 1920 because they made sure that they cheated every election, made sure blacks couldn't vote. That's the Democratic way.
We're going to switch gears a little bit, but kind of not. We're going to go to my friend Deanne, whom I met Tuesday or Wednesday night. I was telling folks about this all started with a friend of mine has a friend who was in her backyard feeling depressed during the lockdown, drinking wine, and her neighbor popped her head over the fence. And so I'm depressed too. And it has grown to now there are like roughly 30 women there this past Wednesday night, all of them Trump supporters, all of them basically saying in one way, shape, or form, we want our country back and we have to fight. And Deanne was one of the women there and graciously agreed to come on the show. So first off, Deanne, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So everybody needs to just sort of send good positive thoughts to Deanne because she lives in Boulder County.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me, first I want to get your reaction and see if you think it makes a difference, because I guess I kind of consider you our person on the street kind of person, right?
That has a lot of connotations to it.
In a good way, in a common sense grassroots way. I notice I said person. Your take on Trump having COVID, do you think it's going to make a difference or not make a difference, or what do you think about all that?
Well, I hope that I hope that he has the mild case of it and just, you know, does really well, because I think that most people get a milder case of it. So I hope that he shows that it's not deadly, obviously, and that it's not always deadly, and that I think most all of us are probably going to get it at some point. That's kind of what I've heard. I mean, so I hope he just sails through it and then keep on moving. I don't think it's as bad for everyone as they say.
No, right. You're absolutely right.
What do you think? Can you talk a little bit about why you started coming to this meeting? I mean, because when I went there, I mean, you know, we had a speaker there who did a great job. You know, everybody who speaks does so eloquently. Why don't you talk a little bit about your reasons and your thoughts about, because I just think there are a lot more people, particularly suburban women, who support Trump than people realize.
I didn't support Trump in the beginning. I was for Ted Cruz, and for all of the reasons I think that everybody said before, is that I didn't really trust that he was actually conservative and going to govern conservatively. But clearly, he's done what he said he's going to do, and he follows through. So, of course, I'm going to support him this year. But I think that people are tired of, at least the people that I talk to, my friends, they're tired of just, like, constantly being lied to, constantly feeling helpless, and just being rolled over, especially in Colorado, by like our governor and every elected individual. Even, you know, Republicans that we elect, they're all kind of milquetoast and don't really stand behind anything. Everyone's tired of it, but no one knows what to do.
Right. Right. Although, well, you know, I mean, that's why this group is so good, because I think, among other things, you know, for instance, one of the ladies had put out an email. She had just posted something on her Facebook page about elections and voting and, you know, watching out for voter fraud, and was slammed on Facebook, right? And I also think what I heard there is, among, because I feel this way too, is that people are like, hey, look, you know, we can agree to disagree, and it is wrong for these progressives to say, to all of a sudden, if you say the least little thing they don't like, all of a sudden you're racist, or you're a horrible person, or, you know what I mean? And people are like, we should be able to speak our mind and not be worried and put a Trump sign out, right? But not be worried about people attacking our houses.
Oh, right. And that's, like I said, we don't put anything out just because we never have, but especially right now, we don't, because you just don't, people feel as if when they see something that they disagree with, they feel entitled to be able to take it down or destroy it. And that's not American. We should be able to disagree and disagree a lot and be able to still be friends. You need to have discussion. But
right.
And I don't feel that that's the people on the right. I believe that's more people on the left, that they cannot have any relationship with you unless you 100% agree with them. And that's
I agree with you there too. And, you know, I'm going to give everybody encouragement. So we put, you know, we have a sign for Trump, for Casper Stockham, and for Tim McCormick in our yard. And the other day, my neighbor stopped me, and we've never talked politics. I have no idea what her politics are. And she kind of commented on one of the signs, and I was kind of thinking of that. And she goes, you know what? She says, can you get me a Trump sign? And then she said, at another neighbor, said, can you get me a Trump sign? So I was like, whoa. So
you're sprouting up in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Once again, you know, it's, yeah, exactly. Well, what if, you know, you talk too a little bit, you have kids, a lot of the ladies there talk about how discouraged they are with the school system and how worried they are about the future of the country for our kids. Why don't you talk about, you know, your thoughts on that a little bit?
Well, my kids they just started high school this year. I have 16, 15, and 14. And when my kids first went to private school, and when I saw the Common Core coming in and learned more about that, I took them out of school, and we homeschooled for the last 5 years. And then they all wanted to go to high school, so now they're in public high school in Boulder County. So that's scary on itself. But I did what I was supposed to do. Like, I was involved in my school. I, you know, took them out when I thought that things were bad. But it still feels like nothing that I did changed anything, and then I'm still helpless with it. So I think that people feel, I think that, like, other moms, what bugs me is, like, I talk with other moms and they see things that are wrong, or that they seem to have lost touch with the fact that you're the parent and the school technically works for you, just like our government should work for us, not we work for our government, you know?
Right.
It's like everybody else is just, we just roll over. Like, if we see something bad going on in the schools, we're like, oh, that's how it is nowadays, you know, and you just go with it. I think too many people just go with the flow.
Right, so, right.
Well, that makes it hard to try to change, too. It's very difficult because, like I said, we did change. We changed our whole life. And nothing, I mean, it didn't make a gigantic impact. It did for my kids, but not, you know. Like,
right. And the whole system. Well, hopefully, you know, more parents will look into that. But one of the things too, and just a couple more questions for you. One of the things that just seeing those women there and listening to things they're saying in between, you know, drinking wine and eating chocolate, which is always important, I think, is just that there are so many people out there, and everybody looks at it maybe slightly different, but in general, it was what I hear there is a love for our country, a concern about how important it is that we save our country, and maybe people who haven't been particularly political active before saying, you know what, I'm realizing now, you know, what's that saying? If not me, then who? If not when? Or if not now, then when? I mean, that's kind of the sense I get. And I got to think there are a lot of other women and men out there like that too.
Oh, I believe so. And I think it's important, especially for that group that, like I said, I'm not a Republican, I'm just a conservative. But I think people need to have We need to have a place like that where we can come together and you can have discussion and you can try to work, hopefully try to work on a plan for something that gets you involved, because people need to be involved in their government.
Well, I was telling
you, can't just let it happen without you.
Yeah.
Having started political things in localities, local communities, you get 30 women who are energized
and riled up
and you provide them some money to be able to do things, they can take over the world. So that group could really be amazing.
Well, let me just a final question for you, Deanne. And again, just because I invited you on, you're like, I know, Julie. Anything that, you know, if you had the microphone, which you do now, that you want to say?
I just think that people, especially, you know, the ladies who have diverse opinions, I think it's good to come together and talk about, we have to have some common feelings and thoughts about the world. We don't want our world, you know, burning down around us. And so I think that it's good to have all of us come together and find some common ground. And I think it's less important what political side we're on, as long as we're working together to benefit humanity, really, and not just, you know, wanting to prove our point. Like, let people live, let them do their thing, but we need to be able to say what is important to us, and we need, you know, we need to be able to vote, speak, and keep our constitutional rights. That goes for both sides.
Yeah, you know, and the only way you'll do it is fight for them.
Yeah.
Because they're disappearing as we talk.
And so. Joe Biden, I don't think is going to bring us that, do you?
No, I don't. And it's sad. But yeah, absolutely. It's time to speak up. It's time to get to, you know, don't vote on emotion or whatever. Like, be an informed voter. That's the big deal.
Right. All right. Deanne, thank you so much. I got to tell you, people like you give me hope. And, you know, in the times when I think, oh, no, we're doomed, I think, no, we're not, because there are women like you and those other women out there. So thank you for your time on this Friday afternoon. I know you're crazy busy. We just really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I was nervous, but I'm happy to do it.
You did a good job.
You are great.
Job.
No, we're going to make you our spokesperson. Thank you, Deanne. Mm-hmm. We'll let you go.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks,
you too. Hey, and this from Sandra. What Trump has done is opened eyes to the corruption that's been going on for years. That's absolutely true. Hey, and we're going to bring Roger Edwards on, the RTD person, in a few minutes. But if anybody on Zoom wants to pop up and speak up, you can do that too. And we'll talk more about the COVID thing. But here, so real quickly, I guess, here's my take on it. I kind of agree with Patrick Neville in that some of it depends on what happens. But I think that, number one, the mainstream media, once again, would like us all to believe that if one person gets it, we're all going to die, right?
Yeah.
And that the only reason Trump got it was he wasn't wearing a mask, even though he does wear a mask. And the fact that, you know what, the 10 states with the worst records, 5 of them Democrat, you know, run with the strictest mandates, right?
And they want to pretend it's something like the Black Death, which justifies the destroying of the economy and people's lives. Economically, socially, and otherwise, because it is such a deadly pandemic, and that's just not the case. It
right.
is not. And if the president and his wife contract it and recover it, I think it'll be a good indication.
And the odds are that they will, right? I mean, for the way I understand it, like number one, 50% of the people who get it don't even realize they had it. The other percentage of the people get it and have very, which it sounds like right now what the president has is fairly mild symptoms.
Well, we don't know. We'll find out.
Well, right now he does. I don't know if it's going to get worse. Yeah. But I think it could end up, I would almost say, having no impact. The Democrats are...
No, I think it could have a very positive impact.
You think maybe positive? Well, I think you're right.
Because he's an underdog, so anything that shakes things up is better than the same thing just grinding on.
There you go.
So it's different. We got not grinding on is Barney on line two. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Barney, happy Friday.
Hey, Chuck and Julie, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How about you?
I want to say, cool, I'm good. I would like to let you know that, you know, my relationship with Amy is over, and if any of those 30 conservative women are single, I think that would be awesome, but never mind that.
I didn't vote on that. We could go back to...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we could go back to our concept of a dating service. Now we've got a group of... We're going to have a sidebar thing going here.
Yeah, he's already looking out for us on that, but let me help Deanna. Deanna, I'm sorry. Trump, Uncle Trump is going to be just fine. He's going to blow right past us. Now, if you want to hope and pray, you hope and pray that Biden doesn't get it, because I'm thinking he's in a lot worse shape. Look, Trump is going to blow right past us, and it is going to be good for him, because he's going to be able to say, well, look, I am the, you know, here you are.
Poster boy.
Hold my beer. What's that?
Poster boy for COVID-19, and we'll be all set. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny. I'm sorry, Chris Wallace. God, I'd like to slap him.
We've got that John Roberts tape coming up. We got that
John Roberts too. Hilarious. Yeah. What a piece of...
We're going to play that to cheer everyone up.
I don't know whose head is farther up one's ass than the other, but they're right there. And boy, you know, you hear these liberals, you can hear it a mile away. Julie, you never really did sound like a liberal, even though, you know, you had that sound deep that you were going to be good. But I mean, you can tell. You know, they got their little ponytail and their John Denver sun eyeglasses, and you can hear it in their voice. They sound like liberals. They smell like liberals. They suck.
They have man buns.
Man buns. By the way, I didn't want to. I was so pissed off the night of the debate. It wasn't worth talking about. But I like it or not, Trump did just fine. If he'd have let the butt clown talk more, he would have bumbled more. And maybe that's what he does next time. We'll see. But
we'll see it.
It was just good. It's funny how liberals, they tell us they don't like the process with Harris, but Obama nominated a guy. He just didn't have his Senate. So Obama would have gone forward.
Now because Trump has COVID, we have to cancel the Senate hearing. It's like, what?
Okay, sure.
And you know what? I'm sorry. Fox is right there.
You're right. They'll sell us down.
Uncle Trump is going to be just fine. Uncle Trump is okay.
All right, Barney. Thank you, Barney.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you. And here from Sandra, absolutely agree. I think the president comes through this with flying colors, and that could be what pushes him over the edge. Yeah. Meanwhile, she says, Barney, you're the greatest. Love to hear his rants. We always hear that from people.
All right, let's go to a guy who does have he doesn't have a man bun. No, he hasn't had a man bun for many years. We got our good friend, Roger Edwards, who ran for CD7, gave it the good college try.
CD6,
you're right. I'm sorry. We live in CD7. And now he's running for RTD board against one wacky.
We'll get to the wacky person there.
I guess that's what you got. Roger, great to see you.
Hey, good afternoon.
Let me talk a little bit about, and we'll get to the opponent, which is, it's more than just wacky, actually, it's scary. And I think it's one of those progressive pushes to get these kind of people into office. But you're running for RTD Board District H. Normally, I think, I'll be honest, we might not talk that much about the RTD election, but you look at what's been going on. The RTD is, number one, they just pay their new director $1 million bazillion. They're firing hundreds of people. No one was riding them, the RTD, during the lockdown, which raises a lot of questions. Then once things open up, their whole system was shut down last week because of computer glitches. I mean, it's hard.
They need you, Roger.
They're never going to build the fast track thing. I mean, what the heck is going on at the RTD? I mean, they need something.
Well, the RTD is in a total crisis right now, and some of it is of their own making and some of it isn't, but we have to get to a point where we look at the preservation of this asset for the community. Now, some may argue that public transportation is not shouldn't be a government endeavor, but public transportation has been around for a long time, and it is something that benefits the community, and we need to preserve it. And the management of RTD in going in the direction that they're going, they're not going to preserve it, and it's going to become a ward of the state. And once it becomes a ward of the state, then you've got 60, 70 some bureaucrats to figure out what's going on rather than 15 bureaucrats.
Right. Well, and I know, and we'll let you, well, I mean, I just jump right in here too. I mean, you have some experience yourself in transportation, which is what they need in there, not somebody who has experience in bureaucracy.
Well, I have a career in transportation, transportation and logistics. I was the corporate logistics manager for a large manufacturing company. We had 24 locations made up between manufacturing sites and warehouses. I managed all the transportation for the company, rail, truck, intermodal, LTL. We explored ocean freight. We explored moving unit trains of commodities. A unit train is 100 cars. And I've negotiated with the national railroads, all four of the national railroads, large and small trucking companies, LTL companies. I've got a broad range of experience. And there was a group of folks that came to me and said, you know, we're looking for somebody we need somebody in this director's seat. Not only do you have a little bit of campaign experience, which I got in my run for, my failed run for TD6, but you've also got some great experience in the transportation sector.
What is your district you're running in?
District 8.
District 8 is Highlands Ranch, Centennial, okay. Greenwood Village, Littleton, and Columbine Valley. If you take Quebec and west of Quebec, that's pretty much district for district.
What's the RD ratio, Republican Democrat?
I don't really know. This is a nonpartisan race.
Oh, I know, but so is Denver mayor. But I can promise you, everything relies on what it is.
Here's another reason, and I know you may not be able to comment on this, but I just want folks to know again why it is so. And I see we got Kenny from Sugar City, so Kenny, hang on, we'll get to you in a second. Why it is so important that people vote for people like Roger? Because this is the kind of thing that the Democrats start loading these kind of small races that nobody pays attention to.
An important race.
But you know what I mean. People pay attention to president and stuff like that. Right, yeah. And so this is who the Democrats are trying to get on. A woman by the name of Reagan Byrd. This is one of the things she's posted on her Facebook page. Get this. She's black, by the way, apparently. White liberals and white conservatives spend way too much time pointing out each other's racist hypocrisy and very little time fixing their S and dismantling the white supremacist system that they both benefit from and contribute to. It's almost like most white folks are actually disinterested in doing something about racism in their backyard. Here's another one, talking about the riots. White folks, stop talking about property damage as some kind of aberration to peaceful protests and start thinking of it as a natural conclusion to a society that values property over people's lives. In fact, stop talking about property damage, period, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is, now I don't know how any of that ties into the RTD, but I'm sort of thinking to myself, is this a person
that we want
representing? Now maybe she can join Candy C. DeBaca in some kind of Denver City Council, but is this somebody you want sitting there? I mean, she doesn't seem to care about transportation very much at all. And my guess would be it's just, you know, a stepping stone to get into some higher power. So again,
or just muck up the RTD as if the RTD needed someone to muck up the RTD. They're doing a good job of that already.
Well, you know, you get the government that you vote for.
Yeah.
And if voters want Reagan Byrd, they'll vote for Reagan Byrd. If they want Doug Teasdale, they'll vote for Doug Teasdale. And if they want somebody with the experience and knowledge, they'll vote for me for that position.
One of the things...
Yeah, if you haven't quite figured out in Colorado, it doesn't matter who votes or who harvests the votes. So
you have some experience with that.
Yeah, you got to find out what Colorado politics is like.
Let me ask you about this in terms of, you know, what to do about the RTD. I think they started losing their way when they started building like light rail systems all over the place that people don't go to, right? I mean, they're building all these transit oriented buildings. But the problem is, because I used to take the RTD, right? And the reason I quit was, number one, they didn't run. In Chicago, the buses run constantly, right? You just go there and a few minutes, the bus shows up. The RTD schedule was all screwed up. And even if I went there, it took me, you know, I had to drive miles to get to the bus stop. And then I had to drive miles once I got there. Rather than building light rails, it seems to me that, I mean, the airport kind of makes sense, but some of these other places, they need to focus on where do people who are going to ride the bus come from, where are they going, and how can we make their lives easier, not try to, you know, social engineer the rest of us.
Well, you're exactly correct. The RTD system is overbuilt, and it's overbuilt on the rail side. And the people who actually need that is on the surface transportation, the bus side. You know, they're subsidizing people here down in Highlands Ranch who have, quite a bit of money or have some money so that they can get on the light rail and go into downtown Denver and not have to pay $20 to park. So is that the function of what RTD should be doing? Should we be subsidizing people who have the ability to pay for what they need to do in transportation? Or should we be focusing on those people who need some help and need some assistance in getting to work every day?
Yeah.
RTD has to figure out what their mission is. And they right now, it's just like any big organization, any big bureaucratic government effort. It grows and grows and grows, and it has grown to a point of where we have forgotten what the mission is, and the mission is to get people to work.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily to make sure that they don't pay $20 for parking downtown Denver take care of people who otherwise could take care of themselves if they weren't there.
Right.
You know, my thought is, really, if RTD wanted to do something beneficial, but RTD has the ability of eminent domain. They can come in and take your property and condemn it and do all of those kinds of things. What would be interesting is if they took some of all of the parking lots downtown in downtown Denver, condemned them, and offered free parking to everybody who would pay
for it. But
The left doesn't want you in cars.
Right, we can't
be
in a car. Yeah.
They don't want you in cars. They think that cheaper parking rates in Denver will be a bad thing. They want them
bike lanes. We need to have bike parking.
Yeah, they'll charge you $50-$60 for those parking places. They think cars are inherently evil, and they want to get rid of them to the extent they can.
That's where they've lost the mission. The mission is to get people to work, whether – if you can't afford it, then we have a bus system that can help you out. If you can afford it, then drive your car into downtown with the
standards
and all of those things. You know, it has gotten better. It's not necessarily the same Denver as it was 20 years ago when a brown.
It's not anywhere near as good.
No one wants their problem. Is they could probably skip all of the right rail systems to downtown Denver. Nobody's going there.
I can promise you, I'd much rather live in Denver 20 years ago.
That's another point that I want to bring up. When you say skipping downtown Denver, Denver, the RTD placed their hub in downtown Denver in Union Station. Now, who would have thought a few years ago that that would have been a bad idea? But with what the city and county of Denver is doing, they have devalued that hub to the extent that people don't want to go down there and run a gauntlet of homeless people and lawlessness and drug addicted folks and those kinds of things. So people don't want to go downtown because of that. I've spoken to hundreds of them. They also don't want to go down because they don't have to. Their boss says, why don't you work from home? So they're commuting via the internet or other ways. And I have one lady said that, yeah, I work downtown, but I'm not going back. She says, if my boss says I have to come back, I'll find a different job.
Wow.
So we've got a real problem with downtown Denver. And, you know, that Union Station is a huge asset, but it's not worth anything right now. Right. So if the city and county of Denver are not willing to take on and try to solve the problem of the homelessness and the lawlessness that goes on downtown on Saturdays and every other day that there's a protest down there, who would want to go down there?
Right.
Do you want to go down there to the Buell Theater and watch a play?
Or, it's not open anyway because they're such idiots.
Because they've closed the entire city down.
Because we're going to die of COVID. Well, listen, Roger, and I mean, where? How can people find out more about you? I know we can't vote you because we don't live there, but we would if we could, because we need more common sense people like you on there. Not somebody who's spending all of her time telling white people how racist they are and that it's okay to riot and destroy property. So how can people find out more about you?
Well, I have a website. It's kind of tricky there. It's representthedistrict.com.
All right.
I have a web page called Roger Edwards for RTD, or I'm sorry, a Facebook page, Roger Edwards for RTD District H. So you can go to my Facebook page, or you can go to the web page. The web page has a list of some of the things that I've accomplished in my career. And the ability, the very important thing, the ability to donate.
All right, Roger. Good to talk to you. Best keep up the good fight.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Roger. Okay. And if you could then unmute your or mute yourself on your camera. Let's go back to the phones. And I want to say, Kenny, thank you so much for waiting. We got our friend Kenny Bandemir from Sugar City, Colorado. Hey, Kenny, happy Friday.
Hey, Chuck, Julie, just anxiously awaiting a visit from you guys down here to God's country someday.
How far is Sugar City from Los Animas?
We're, I think, about 40, 45 miles.
I got
like
a friend who just moved down to it, and he's loving it there. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's good people. This weekend, they're having a big Trump rally you know, with everybody bringing their trucks and cars with the flags.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
To go up and down the valley. And, man, the support for Trump here is awesome. I went to coffee this morning and different ones that I just never once ever thought would be interested at all in politics was talking about, you know, getting flags and more support for Trump. And then on my way home, I saw different homes in different places with Trump flags and Trump yard signs, and it just it's outstanding. Yeah. And Sugar City, I'm proud of our town. I mean Ordway and the different ones are good, but man, we've got a good thing. It would bring great encouragement to anyone to come to this little town and just drive around. Anyhow, being you're my trusted news source now, I'm just curious, on the three races, Gardner, Casper, and Beaupert, is there any polls or any news on how those races are going?
Well, I can give you a general one. I think Beaupert is a slight favorite. A lot of the services say lean Republican for that particular district, although with establishment Republicans not wanting to support a conservative, it's going to be a tight race. Casper's got an uphill ride. I mean, I would say he's very much of an underdog, but doing a great job.
He is the hardest working. If hard work, you know, makes you deserve it, Casper certainly deserves it.
And if you go to the Gardner Hickenlooper, I mean, everybody thought Gardner was, in fact, he has been the most endangered Republican. And most of the polls early on showed a 12, 13 massive, but they've been dropping. And last one was 5% difference. So what everybody considered an almost hopeless cause,
right,
at least has gotten within the margin of that, maybe sort of. I still think Hickenlooper is favored at this point, but, you know, the ads that he ran, that Gardner ran, or people ran on his behalf about Hickenlooper's lack of ethics have really struck. So who knows?
Right.
Well, and there's a debate. Hickenlooper and Cory Gardner debate tonight. So that could make a difference. And one other thing to give you hope, I know our friend George Anthonisopoulos, who's sort of a Republican grassroots strategist, he's noted that Cory Gardner is doing a lot of the right things that some of the Republicans haven't done before, in that he's got a really strong ground game out there, you know.
I've heard that.
For a Republican. Hickenlooper has almost none. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, great. Sometimes I just dare not listen to the news anymore. It's just so
right, right.
All right. Well, we're here for you.
We're here.
All right, Kenny.
Trusted news source, Chuck and Julie.
Thank you for listening, Kenny. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk about Synagenics real quick? And then for everyone to cheer you up on this Friday, we will play the John Roberts Fox correspondent meltdown.
Don't want to miss it. Okay. Synagenics is an incredible program run here in Denver by Julie McCallum, a great doctor, great person. It helps you lower your biological age, or your actual age you feel. Maybe you're not your biological age. You'll still be that old, but you'll be the best shape you've ever felt in your life. Reporting into my diet, I weighed 256.2, so I've lost almost 20 pounds since it began a few weeks ago. Got another about 20 pounds to go for this stage of the diet. I'm trying to go from 300 down
you're doing
to
great two, you're doing a great
215.
Job.
But Dr. McCallum makes it so easy, and every day you check in and you work on it and so forth. So I've taken off not quite 20 and 20 more to go for the stage to get down into the 230s. And then,
well, and all the other aspects of your health are doing just great too.
Yes, yes. You know, like everybody else, you one of the things, your lungs, your heart will kill you. One of the two. My heart, I had atrial flutter, and so I had to get that fixed. But so I watch it very carefully. I take blood pressure and everything else. So she helps monitor that for me and making sure that
adjusting it.
So with the right amount of prescriptions and other good things to eat and all that. So how to live the happiest you possibly can at your age. And we've all got strong points. We all have weak points, but Julie will take those strong points, improve them, take those weak points, and bring them back to where you want them. So give her a call. Free consultation. Doesn't cost you a penny. See what they can do for you. That's 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. Or just Synergenics, Cenegenics. That'll be the happiest thing you did. And tell her Chuck and Julie something.
And I love Sandra. Sandra's saying we both look great. Well, thank you. So glad we have the show. So are we. She misses us on 710, but hey, here we are. You know, I want to say we appreciate all of you guys listening and all of the support. Right now, to Thomas, our producer, I'm going to skip Mark Meadows right now. But if anybody didn't see, so John Roberts, in spite of the fact that President Trump, like every 5 seconds, says, I denounce white supremacists. He's been saying it for years. He said it to John Roberts' ABC reporter wife, who reported it. So yeah. John Roberts still goes on and is asking Kayleigh McEnany, the
third,
press secretary,
fourth, fifth,
80
time.
Million times is President
but
Trump.
But as he said, he didn't include the KKK on this one. He said the KKK, but he didn't say white supremacy in general, or whatever his stupid point was.
So anyway, he must have gotten trolled by Twitter trolls. Hated him. But this is, I have never seen a meltdown like this.
Yeah, you've been on camera
and believe me, I've had things go bad, but I've never seen a meltdown like this. So Thomas, if we could play the John Roberts meltdown.
All of you on Twitter who were hammering me for answering that for asking that question, I don't care. Because it's a question that needs to be asked. And clearly, the president's Republican colleagues a mile away from here are looking for an answer for it, too. So stop deflecting. Stop blaming the media. I'm tired of it.
All right. John Roberts is tired of it, so we're going to let you go. Thank you, my friend.
She's mocking.
What the heck is that? It's number one, you ask an incredibly stupid question.
I'm tired of it. I mean, that's kind of like, wow, you're a real pro.
You're tired of being called out for being a lousy reporter. Yeah. I would get tired of it, too. Yeah. But here's a suggestion, John Roberts. Maybe don't be an idiot, right? Maybe watch your wife's report. I mean, Kayleigh McEnany just schools him. But she says, well, maybe, John, you could look at your wife's report where she says, do you denounce white supremacy? And Trump's like, I denounce white supremacy. And his wife tweets, President Trump denounces white supremacy. And plus, what a lie. His Republican colleagues a mile from here wanted to say it. It's like,
yeah, is he pro-white supremacy? Oh, yeah, there's so many. There's such a big, I mean, lucky for people like your RTD opponent seem to be races out there, but they don't seem to be white that much these days.
No, it's insanity, you know? And again, I think people see by it. And when a reporter like that, I mean, I was on TV for 30 years. I have never seen, one time I saw a guy and they had to toss to me really quick. And this was just, it was like one of his first times he was coming from a smaller station. And he started hyperventilating, right? And then all of a sudden, this is terrible.
Hyperventilating,
because he was nervous. And all of a sudden, he pulls out a paper bag and was going like this. Whoa. And I was the next live shot, so they quick cut from him to me. But even then, I was like,
is he in the right line of work?
But at least he
is. John Roberts in the right line of work?
That's understandable. He didn't like start lecturing all the people for.
Yeah, he couldn't help it.
Yeah, it is like insanity. But, you know, if you want to call in, I mean, wait, we got plenty of time. If people are listening on Zoom, I think I saw Anil there, or the lines, and they want to unmute, the call in is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We got time for calls and thoughts on the president and COVID. We can all play a political strategist. Mm-hmm. Back to what we were saying before, I think some of it will, he's being hammered. Let me back up. He's being hammered by some of the lapdog media outlets.
Well, I think that's great. It makes him more human. It makes him more empathetic. I mean, quite frankly, Reagan was not popular nationally until he got shot. He was, you know, then he got empathy. You know, he did it in a very gracious and calm manner, survived it, and that really increased his popularity an enormous amount. And I think, you know, something along those lines could happen with Trump. With Trump handling it graciously, people are empathetic. Even Joe Biden.
Yeah, I give him. Well, and if Joe Biden
turned over, so yeah. You know, it's hard to know how it'll.
But some people were blasting him, saying, "Oh, she needs to address the nation now." It's like, no, he doesn't. He's sick, for Pete's sakes. And you know, it's like, well, I don't know. I think we could give the guy a day or two. If number one, the COVID thing is going to kill us all, like the Democrats tell us it is, then they should cut the guy a little slack, right? Yeah. And let him spend some time with his family. And if it's not, I mean. If you're the president's campaign, just from a strategy point of view, you just got to wait, I think, too, and see how sick is he going to be.
Pence has got to get out there, and he already is.
Right.
Maybe send some surrogates to some rallies. The campaign has to go on, even if the candidate has to take a few days to recover, and that's what we're praying is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that it gives him an opportunity to demo, because it sounds like he's going to have a pretty mild case of it, he and Melania.
If that's
how it plays out, then he can come back and, you know, he can say to Joe Biden, hey, I've had, you know, COVID-19, right? I know what I'm talking about here. And, you know, and they're going to try to make it, what are they calling him, a super spreader at this event? I mean, they just try to, it's just so ridiculous, right? I mean, you know, it's okay if, again, we've said this before, if you're going to riot, that's not a super spreader event. But but if you're, you know, if you're at a Trump rally or Bandimere Speedway, then that's a super spreader event. It's just ridiculous. The other thing is, too, I think, Chuck, and that's, I want to talk about this here for the last couple of minutes. I think that poll that showed, was interesting about the poll is, so it was of likely voters, it was after the debate. While most of the people who watched it actually thought that Joe Biden came across as a nicer guy, and that Joe Biden might have won the debate,
people are convinced to change the vote for Trump than people are convinced to change the vote for Biden. So maybe
here's my explanation for that. Okay. I think in this day and age, people want somebody who appears to like have his, you know, not just finger on the pulse, but who kind of like knows his stuff, right? Who has a Supreme Court nominee, who can talk about the economy, who isn't just mouthing platitudes about how riots are okay, right? And I mean, I think they're like, okay, yeah, Joe Biden is nice, but I think people are looking for somebody who's competent and on it right now, not somebody who's a nice guy, right? Now, if the nice guy happens to be...
Well, nice guy actually wins elections, so that's one of the...
But I thought that was interesting, though, that people thought Biden was nicer, but they're like, yeah, but I'm going to vote for Trump.
Well, they also, a lot of people thought that Chris Wallace was leaning in way too much. I think that helped Trump. And he was. I mean, and he's been whining. He's been doing his John Roberts kind of whining himself.
Right.
So it's interesting. But I think I'm feeling a little encouraged with the IDB poll, because I said even 4 years ago, I was very much
looking. You were depressed Wednesday night, but now.
Well, I was, because I thought Trump could have done a lot better. But as it is, you know, that's yesterday.
Right.
And today is a good poll. I think everybody's hoping the president recovers quickly. If he does, the whole COVID thing could be a positive. Maybe, it's hard to know which way it'd go with people. But the Democrats, you know, Schumer's saying we have to cancel the Senate. And,
but the New York Times, Trump should be taken off the ballot. It's like, give me a break.
I used to read the New York, you know, because I'm from New York. We read New York Times every day. And it's just so, it has been Dean Banquet's now, the managing editor, is a fool. And the new owner, they've given to Arthur Schlesinger, the word of the fourth or whatever he is. And so I just think the more the left-wing press, which is most of the press, including a significant segment of Fox, does it, more people are going to go, no, you're not.
Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us. We want to say thank you to Patrick Neville, to Deanne, and to Roger Edwards.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, as always, to the guys at BBS.
Everybody who called in, from Kenny to Sandra or everyone
and Barney.
Else.
Yeah.
Barney, yep.
And let me tell folks real quick how we'd love to have you. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. You can watch the podcast live there. You can catch the podcasts later. We're working on putting together like an email list and a newsletter. We'll keep you as soon as I can technically figure out how to do it. But we'd love
work
to,
email.
It's computer stuff. But we'd love to have you follow us on YouTube. That is always helpful. Or go to Chuck and Julie on Facebook. You can catch everything there too.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend.